Welcome to Tabletop Tommies. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Phil.
And in today's episode, we're joined by a very special guest, a teammate for numerous events. He was our teammate at World Open War 2023. He was our teammate at WTC 2024. And most recently, he was our third good man at Three Good Men 2024. So please welcome to the podcast, Alan. Hi, Alan.
Thank you, and hello to everyone out there.
Alan's on to talk to us about Bulgaria and specifically why you should consider playing them in bolt action. So firstly, Alan, could you summarize Bulgaria's history in the war for us? Because I imagine theme's a big reason to play Bulgaria.
Very much so. Bulgaria sits in a very strange place in World War II. It really wasn't really an Axis power, even though it signed the Tripartite Pact. The only declared war on the US and Britain as a sort of token gesture to get equipment from the Germans. And they refused, due to popular opinion back home, to declare war on the Soviet Union. I mean, it's probably a good point that until the mid-war, Bulgaria was ruled by a czar. So they were still a monarchy, and you can tell by the name, very similar to the old Russian republics. So largely their war early on was allowing the Germans to invade Greece through them and then occupying Greece in exchange for a lot of the territory they'd lost many years before. So they're quite an unusual part in that. And the biggest campaign before the Soviets actually invade them and declare war on them in, I think, 43, is fighting the Tito's partisans in the Balkans. So it's a very unusual army for that, which kind of then leads into what makes them special.
And am I right, Alan, in saying that they also fought against the Germans at the end of the war?
They did. After they flipped sides, they, alongside 3rd or 4th Ukrainian Front, because it changes name at some point during the campaign, invade the Balkans and drive the Germans out of there. And they are actually part of the Allied forces that throw back Spring Awakening in near Budapest. So the southern end of that battle line is the Bulgarian army and the Yugoslav army.
Cool. So they're quite, yeah, it's a characterful army. I mean, so I don't know much about Bulgaria historically in terms of World War II, and know probably even less about them in terms of bolt action. So, yeah, looking forward to hearing about them over the next however many minutes.
Are they only found in the Armies of Italy and Axis book, or have they had the Romanian treatment where you can also play them as allies from a campaign book?
They haven't, but to be fair, unlike Romania, they didn't change equipment. So one of the things the Germans found very surprising when they were trying to relieve Budapest was a regiment of Panzer IVs coming the other way in Bulgarian colours. So they just kept the same equipment and carried on going.
So actually, if you want to play Allied Bulgarians, you just take the same list as you would for the Axis side, basically is what we're saying. So jumping into that then, what are their national characteristics? I suppose it's always a good place to start with a bolt action army.
They have two. The classic Axis support, and the one that is the main reason you play Bulgaria, which is anti-partisan tactics. This is probably one of the, in some ways, it's one of the strongest national characteristics out there, in that it completely changes your opponent's game plan. What it does is it prevents any opponent from either outflanking or forward deploying against you. So no snipers, no spotters, but it doesn't stop you doing the same.
Nice.
Okay.
So is it one you get quite a lot of use out of, would you say?
Depends very much on the pack. I kind of regret not taking them to the WTC, because that was a pack that was very Bulgarian friendly, because I think 5 out of 6 missions had forward deploy, and even that one had outflank, so there was always going to be a use in whatever mission I was going to be playing. And frankly, if the FAQ had come out before the WTC list were in, I would have been all over it.
What was included in the FAQ, Alan, that would have made you take them had it been released before list submission for WTC?
It's going to sound really silly, because what Bulgaria got in the WTC, in the FAQ, was practically nothing, in that we got a truck with a machine gun. We got a flamethrower, and we got the utility car. Really basic things most armies take for granted, but for Bulgaria, they were a game changer.
Yeah, well, no, and I can understand that, because you've got the offensive power with obviously the flamethrower, and we've often heard on this podcast and others that the prior to the FAQ, the lack of an MG on a truck, whilst it's 15 points and it might not sound a lot, it changes a delivery system into something that can actually has a role to play as you're delivering that item to wherever it is it's going on the battlefield.
Yeah, very much so. Bulgaria as a nation lacked very strongly from any ability to push. You relied very strongly on the ability to shoot your opponent off the board and then try and sneak an objective late. But having truck-borne infantry makes a massive difference to that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So what sort of builds can you do with the Bulgarians?
There's realistically two builds you've got.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Bo did a piece on Bulgaria a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
After I played Manuel at not the London GT a couple of years ago.
Mm.
And I drew against Manuel's Chinese, and he was frothing so much at Bo that Bo had to do a video on it because it was like, well, who plays Bulgaria? He's of the view that you can do a pseudo tank build. I don't see it because Bulgarian armor is terrible. You can only get anything remotely normal in the theater selector. So if you're playing generic platoons, not an option. So what you rely very heavily on is the classic leaf blower build.
Mm-hmm.
So artillery and snipers and skirmish infantry to basically kill your opponent and then counterattack.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do now after the FAQ is you can go more down the skirmish route because you've got that mobility you didn't previously have.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my standard build is based around regular infantry. Bulgaria only has three infantry choices.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is veteran cavalry that can't charge.
Okay.
They don't have a Panzerfaust. They have to be mounted, so you can't even use them as a veteran infantry squad.
Mm-hmm.
I have never used it, but I am in the process of converting up a five-man squad as a try and sneak on an objective late unit, because you do at least get recce. And it is that five veterans with recce will go on your threaten your opponent's home objective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a way to counter that lack of mobility.
Mm-hmm.
You also get the inexperienced squad, which I do use because you can take them as shirkers. And at the end of the day, 4 points a model, it's a great backfield defender.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then the rest is what, just regulars, effectively?
It's regulars. And there was another twist with the Bulgarian infantry squads, which kind of sums up Bulgaria as a nation, which is you have to pay for everything a little bit more. So you've had your standard infantry squad comes with rifles, apart from the NCO, who comes with a pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get a reduction for that either.
And the only upgrade you can give him is an SMG. So this means you end up having to pay for an SMG to have any real range capability whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a theme you see through the Bulgarian army. They get some nice stuff, but you always have to pay a bit more than the equivalent in another nation.
And you mentioned they don't get Panzerfaust, but in the original book, they do?
The only infantry squad that gets a Panzerfaust is the regular squad, and they can take one. And that has been FAQ'd down to 5 points like everyone else.
Right, okay.
So me, standard infantry squad, seven guys, one SMG, one Panzerfaust, 78 points.
So I see what you mean in terms of, you know, just kind of the skirmish build or the leaf blower build, because you don't have access to tough fighters other than your cavalry, but your cavalry can't assault, can they? So no. So yeah, you're not going to build a Bulgarian, you know, assault army because you don't get tough fighters for SMGs and you don't get your tough fighters through your cavalry. I mean, you could argue that you only need three or four infantry options, but these three are not the most amazing options you're being presented with.
The regular squad is a solid skirmish squad.
Yeah.
The shirkers are a solid backline holder, but you do lack a push squad.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
My big question then, if the infantry's not that great, is what do you usually take as your actual support then? Do you pad out your infantry or do you take something nasty?
It depends what I want to do with the army.
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of that will depend on the theater pack. I will never take an infantry squad unless I was for some madness taking a tank platoon. And I have tried a Bulgarian tank platoon. It was actually a lot of fun, but it's a good way to get that fourth infantry squad into a tank platoon.
Yeah.
So for me, axis support normally falls into an extra artillery piece, a third sniper if I'm playing double platoon, because three snipers is a very strong build when your opponents can't forward deploy with theirs.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or sometimes the classic big tank. So for Three Good Men, as you know, I took a Stu-42. Because if you haven't got a push squad, a push assault gun is a reasonable way of allowing your skirmish infantry to advance.
Nice. When you run your Bulgarian tank platoon, which tanks are you running in that? The pause there is very telling.
The problem with Bulgaria and tanks is if you don't have access to the theater selector tanks, you're limited to four tanks. And there is not, for any other army in the game, a good tank there. There's the Sommier S-35 from the French. It's all right, 9-plus armor, but it lacks that whole machine gun, so you're only ever going to get one gun firing.
Yeah, and it's got the one-man turret rules.
One-man turret, yeah. It's the Renault 35, which got nerfed in an FAQ about a couple of years ago, just as I was starting Bulgarians. Otherwise, I would have owned a lot of those. So I'm glad they nerfed it before I bought them. Because that used to have a light low-velocity anti-tank gun and the whole MG. And now it's just got both in the turret.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Then you get the Semoventi 4732 from the Italians. And I own two of these and I've had some good mileage out of them. It's a 7-plus open topped assault gun, which has a light anti-tank gun and you can get a Pintle MMG. And because it's open topped, who cares about the Pintle?
True.
That comes to 100 points regular. So it's actually a solid choice.
And is it one of those comically small Italian tanks, that one?
No, it's roughly around the same sort of size as the M13. It's a little bit smaller, but not crazy small. So I'd probably use a couple of those, or if I wanted a bit of armor, the Sommier. And then I pad it with the last choice, which is the CV-33, which is a comically small Italian tank. It's a little tankette the Italians used in early war. It's a two-man vehicle. It appears in a lot of the other army lists, but no one ever takes it because there's always something better for them to take. And again, as is always typical, the Bulgarians get the worst version of it, which is the single MMG version for 60 points.
Okay.
For 10 more points, the Italians can do a double MMG. It's a 7-plus tankette, fully enclosed, and realistically, it's invisible behind your average wall. It's that low slung.
Right, okay.
So it's remarkably hard to kill. And at the same time, your opponent generally sits there going, well, what's the point? It's only got a machine gun. It's only a tankette. And what it does is, by the end of the game, it's normally parked next to your opponent's artillery machine gunning it because they've ignored it for that long or not been able to see it for that long.
That it's just, yeah, advanced off the board and got in the back line.
Or you could use it to rush an objective and contest it turn six, I guess.
Yeah, happened at Three Good Men. My opponent's home objective had a CV parked on it at the end of the game. He hadn't realized that vehicles could contest, and that got me the draw.
Yeah, and being tracked, it's actually quite fast over the rubble as well. So
it is actually a solid choice. The Greeks can have it, but for some reason theirs is open-topped.
Okay.
Yeah.
No one else takes it. Hungary can take it, and they can take the double MMG version, but you'd take a Zrini or a Nimrod instead.
For me, the problem with the CV-33 in the Bulgarian list is you don't really have any anti-tank elsewhere in the army. And so just looking at someone who doesn't play Bulgaria, I'm thinking if I was picking a tank, I'd be picking something with an anti-tank gun on it, just because I don't know how else I'm going to deal with you Stuarts.
Well, funny you should say that, because that comes to the other weird thing in the Bulgarian list. They have a unique gun that no other nation has. It's called the Skoda hybrid gun. It has the option of having an anti-tank barrel or a light howitzer barrel. So it's either a light anti-tank gun or a light howitzer. And again, we hit that classic situation of it's like something else someone else has, like a 25 pounder, except it costs 5 points more and you need to have an advance order to choose which barrel is loaded than to change it.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's either, it should be the same points as a 25 pounder, or it's 50 points and you can have either or and you can swap during the game.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But it does mean you get like anti-tank guns or howitzers depending on what your opponent has.
Yeah. So I think I'm right in saying this. So when you start the game, you declare what barrel it is, you know, equipped with, for want of a better phrase. And then if you need to change it during the game, you have to give it an advance order. So it switches in the turn it's got the advance order, and obviously you can't fire on that order.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, you can fire on the advance order, just a minus one to hit.
I think you probably can now, but when I first started reading this, I was of the view on advance order artillery couldn't fire. But that was a hard lesson I've learned this year.
Yes, you're right. Sorry, Johnny, you're right. Yeah.
Okay. What's quite nice about that, actually, is if they're not in your arc. So if that steward does rush down your flank and you've been shooting light howitzer at the infantry in front of you, you're going to advance anyway. And so actually, it is a little bit irrelevant in that specific one situation.
I've only played Stuart's Gurkhas once with the Bulgarians, and that was actually a Stuart tank platoon. And that was at Battle of Britain against Martin Knowles last year.
Yeah,
I wasn't taking the hybrids then. I actually had medium howitzers, and my Axis support was a Hetzer because it was 1250 points. And I fought him to a standstill. It really was the last dice of the game. He edged it. Okay. That was 3 Stuarts and 4 Gurkha squads.
Yeah. So the generic options, or the options that the options you get if you were building a generic platoon, they're not exactly jumping out of me, Alan, at this stage and making me want to go and buy Bulgarians. But you said the theatre selectors changes things.
Theatre selector, and there's one because it's only in
singular. Armies
of Italy and Actus.
Sorry, theatre selector singular. My mistake. Apologies.
What it is like all of the Eastern European powers, so not like the Finns or the Italians, they've added in tanks from German service. So that's where the Panzer IV comes in, the Panzer III N 35 and 38Ts. So you get some half-decent tanks in at that point, but you very rarely see a tournament which allows you to go double theatre selector. Mm. So you're never going to have those 238Ts, which is, your equivalent of the old Panzer III, the old Crusader kind of level.
Although, could you not? You still get the Axis support rule, though. So you could do it through the Axis support rule, but you're not taking an additional artillery piece, for example, if you do that. Okay.
That's the big dilemma, is the Axis support choice for a Bulgarian army is so vital because it's that second unit. And until very recently, I firmly of the view that a single platoon Bulgarian army just wasn't worth it, because you kind of need 2 guns, you need 2 snipers, and a second armored vehicle is really helpful. The FAQ made me rethink it for 3 good men, and I had an okay tournament, 2 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses. Mm-hmm. And both my losses weren't particularly, they were 50-50 games that just swung at a point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a place for them now. And if you do get to have theatre selectors, you actually get an armor car choice, because you don't have an armor car choice in the standard platoon.
Okay.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay.
I was just looking at that. Because I was thinking, if I was building this theatre selector, I'd go for a Panzer IV, a Dacker Panzer III, and then a 2-2-2 as my armored car.
Especially with the FAQ making it close top.
Yeah, and if that's at a single platoon event like Welsh Open was last year, having the 3 pieces of armor, I think it's going to be really pretty powerful. Intimidating, really.
Yeah,
definitely. I've been basing myself around double medium howitzer build for a long time. It's what I took to the Welsh Open last year with a Panzer IV. And I think I won 3, lost 2. But it was an okay build, but you just felt that you wanted that second sniper all the time, because that's where you really have an edge.
Yeah. It's funny because I never play snipers, so I don't think I'd miss. Yeah. I don't think I'd miss the extra sniper. I think I'd just revel in the extra armor.
That's fair. What I would point out, and because everyone says forward deploying, it doesn't matter. You're surprised how much it does. So if you think about your average artillery piece, if there's a first wave, the spotter's normally on the table. The spotter's not on the table. The spotter's coming on. Your sniper's already sat there waiting for them to arrive.
Yeah.
You can stop people's artillery before it even has a chance to fire. Similarly, at snipers, you always have an edge in the sniper duel. The other thing that's hilarious, if there's prelim bombardment, well, all their spotters are actually now viable targets for prelim bombardment.
Yeah.
So in a game of sectors, all the teams that normally wouldn't be anywhere near the quarter are getting bombarded.
Yeah.
Or having to be in reserve, which you don't really want to be.
No.
Interesting.
And I think, Alan, you and I, we've spoken about Bulgarians when we were sort of sorting out our list for 3 good men, and also, when we were in Granada. It is absolutely worth emphasising the reason why you take Bulgaria over, say, Hungary, for example, that we looked at in an earlier episode, is because of that special rule. In the sense, and that is a unique special rule. No, I think I'm right in saying no other nation gets to deny the forward deploying in the way the Bulgarians do.
No one does, not even in the theatre selector.
Okay, and the same for outflanks and so on. And if you can shut down, I know it's situational because some armies won't bother with, you know, outflanking, for example, and maybe won't bother with reserves or just bring everything on if it's a first wave mission. And if they haven't built a list that has forward deployers and spotters and snipers and so on, it won't matter to them. But most people do one of those two or three things. Most people either have forward deployers, they're using spotters for their artillery pieces, or they're reserving slash outflanking. So to take that away from your opponent, it's a very different feel of a national rule, whereas most national rules buff your own army. This one very much is detracting and taking away from your opponent and making them play in a different way.
That's completely it. And if your opponent hasn't taken any of the things you stop, well, they're still playing the game you want to play anyway.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've learned, and that last game at Three Good Men very much proved it, my opponent let Bulgaria get in his head and started playing in a different way than he wanted to play. Mm-hmm. Even though actually all he had was a sniper and two mortar spotters. He got so in his head, and we were playing no man's land. So it was just kill points.
Mm.
So I got three up at the beginning of the game with my artillery just dug in, all my infantry hiding. His veteran infantry was stuck behind a river. He never got back in the game because Bulgaria got in his head. And you'll find that will happen once or twice at every tournament. And then you'll get that one game when you're playing the army who just might as well give up now. When I played Manuel at not the London GT, he was playing forward deploying inexperienced Chinese.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We played key positions. He spent so long trying to make sure his teams weren't actually in line of sight to the three snipers I fielded that we actually ran out of time. But what happened was his three big units of Chinese infantry then lost their NCOs. So they were with one pin and a leadership six.
Yeah, if you're bringing a list which is, you know, Soviets forward deploying scouts and AT teams, or Japanese forward deploying scouts and AT guys and all that sort of thing, that is going to make you think differently. Whereas, for example, the game of Three Good Men, the opponent you were playing didn't really have much forward deploying going on, and it actually really didn't make much difference to their, you know, how they were going to deploy and play the game. But like you said, it got in their head that I can't do this, and I'm fixated on the fact I can't do this, even though I probably didn't want to do it. And if I can't do it, it doesn't make much difference to me.
Yeah, yeah. Completely. And again, it was a great example of where that CD-33 just strolled into his back line, and his troops were moving away from it because they couldn't hurt it because he was light on AT. It was only one machine gun. I was chucking a pin and killing two people at most each turn, but it was a tank he couldn't hurt.
Okay. So if I did want to play Bulgarians and I wanted to get in people's heads and play mind games before we've even rolled a single dice, what would I do? What models are out there? Who would you recommend? Where would I go for, you know, infantry, vehicles, and so on?
Well, infantry, there's really only one choice in this Great Escape Games. They have a metal range of it. I actually got into it during their Kickstarter, so I've been there since sort of day one with the Bulgarians.
Yeah.
There isn't a full range because they don't have a flamethrower, because no one needed a flamethrower until last month. So my flamethrower is actually a Bad Squiddo Soviet one that I painted up in Bulgarian colors because, frankly, they're close enough. Vehicle-wise, all their vehicles they're borrowed from everyone else. So my CVs are Mad Bobs, my Sommuers, Blitzkrieg, they're just standard tanks and everything. So actually, it's really easy to get hold of them. I'm going to be converting the cavalry out of the classic US Civil War and a squad of Bersaglieri that I got sent when Tough Gut came out.
Mm-hmm. Is that what? I was just thinking about conversion projects. What helmets are they wearing, the Bulgarians?
They are their own unique helmet, but it's halfway house between a Stahlhelm and the Soviet helmet. They've got a kind of big point, sort of a pointed. It's not a point, but it's kind of beveled into sort of a sharpish edge. But fundamentally, a Russian helmet looks okay.
Okay. Mm.
Well, it could be captured, I suppose. Yeah. Brilliant. Are they a little bit like the Adrian helmets with like the ridge down the middle?
Not so pronounced, but that kind of idea.
Right. Okay. And their artillery, a medium howitzer, where are you getting that from?
My two are the Warlord 105s, because they got those from the Germans. My two heavies are for Mad Bob, French Schneiders.
Right, okay.
My hybrid guns I ordered from Paint and Glue Miniatures, because they do both barrels. So I actually have two of them, and of each barrel. So I swap barrels so my opponent knows what's currently loaded.
Nice.
Oh, nice. That's very cool.
Yeah.
The question I'm dying to ask is, do you run a Panzer Shrek? Because that's what we haven't discussed yet.
Oh, no, I don't.
Never run a Panzer Shrek.
I have never run a Panzer Shrek, despite having no anti-armor, because it's 80 points. I do regularly run anti-tank rifles. I quite often will take two.
Yeah.
That's going to probably drop out of my list now, the flamethrower is an option, because it fitted in that niche. I mean, I've also run light mortars for them. That's quite an effective build because there's nothing to shoot them because you've got three snipers and they don't have anything to pick on that light mortar.
Yeah, I prefer the anti-tank rifle to the Faust. It's just, it's half the price and sort of equal threat, I would say.
Interesting. They feel like the thinking man's army because you're limited as to what you can take. So you're not turning up with a bunch of units that are, you know, well-costed and efficient. You've got a national special rule that will counter and stop altogether certain tactics from your opponent. So there's a lot going on, and it's not like you could just turn up and just dump units on the board and go, right, deal with that. I've got a load of, you know, well-costed assault units or veteran stubborn units or big tanks or whatever. So yeah, they feel, well, they are different, obviously, but they feel like they take quite a lot of work, I think, to make work. But when they do work, they are surprisingly effective.
That's pretty much it, yeah. From a tournament point of view, I've had 2 fourth-place finishes. Mm-hmm. That was not the London GT and not Four Steps Back. In both cases, that was after losing the top table game in the final.
Okay.
So I've got close to a tournament podium or win with both of them. So I've lost to Sheffy at not Four Steps Back. Was it not Three Steps Back? Because I've got close twice with Bulgarians. And I lost to Rich C at not London GT with his Gurkhas. And that, to be fair, was quite a new mistake on my part in that I got twitchy of Gurkhas, deployed a load of stuff in my deployment zone that I shouldn't have done.
Right.
Because it was the first time I played a big Gurkha platoon like he has. But after the prelim bombardment, when I lost 3 units, we were quits for the rest of the game.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Alan. That has been genuinely very interesting to learn about the Bulgarians, who I don't think I've ever played. And so this was very insightful. So hopefully I stand a chance next time I face you.
Yeah, I'm kind of unique in England. I believe there's 1 Scot and 1 Welshman who also play Bulgarians. So it's very much a niche army in the British Isles. And there's 1 Dane as well.
We would say look out for the Bulgarians at future events, but the chances are statistically you're not going to come across them. But when you do, be prepared.
You should be prepared now, to be fair, with all that top shelf advice. If you do play Bulgarians, though, please do share some photos on the Facebook so we can have a look at them. As ever, thank you for listening. Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta for now as well.
Ta-ta for now as well.